On today's episode of The Glue Guys, what did I say on Twitter?
Nobody,
Brian? I said, don't
freak
panic.
Out. Nobody freak out. Everyone's freaking out. You don't do it. That's not what we do here. Measured. That's what we do here.
And now the Nets are undefeated in the last two games.
Nice.
So, nice. You know, it's nice.
Let's get into the show.
Guys, this is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys. NetsDaily.com. The Athletic. Get yourself on the paywall. TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. A subsidiary of the New York Times Company. Brian.
Break it down. That was like a Migos
the
song.
The Nets are back.
Great to be back.
So, just behind the curtain here. Brian and I just didn't want to pod last week. I mean, I was very busy, and also when this team loses,
dude,
a bunch,
the team
it's like
sucked,
not that fun.
And it was also like we sucked, and we didn't have our best player, so it wasn't even like interesting to talk about why they sucked. So we just didn't do it.
So I had made also a decision that I wasn't going to panic. You know, there was a lot of panic going on. The Nets were on a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah,
they had looked ugly whilst being in that 4-game losing streak. The Thunder game was particularly startling to see how athletic and devastating the Thunder seemed to be, a team that, you know, is on the rise.
Mm.
And friend of our show, Andrew Schlecht.
Oh.
And Andrew Schlecht's a colleague of mine. His origins in the game of podcasting was he has a Oklahoma City Thunder podcast called Down to Dunk. Very popular show.
Shout out. Big shout out.
He was on Zach Lowe's podcast. So if you want to hear about the Thunder demolishing the Nets, you can listen to that on Zach Lowe's most recent podcast. But it was kind of ugly days. It was dark days. 4-game. It was Last of Us. Have you started watching Last of Us on
HBO yet? I did watch the first 10 minutes of the first episode. And I started it too late, and I was getting a little sleepy. And I was like, I'm too sleepy to
you
do
need
this.
To see, yeah.
You know that feeling?
You're just seeing like a nice dad, single dad and daughter TV show with a little dread.
Yeah, that's all I've seen so far.
There's a flip. Let me just tell you, things happen. You know, the world kind
of
changes.
I also watched the first 30 minutes of Smile. Did you talk to me about Smile? Is that part of it?
No, I would
never
talk
that's
to you
too
about
much.
Smile.
That's too much for you.
That's way too terrifying.
Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, the Nets, you know, they were just an ugly land. But I also had felt, we do this thing. We emotionally do this thing every time that there's an injury with this team.
Yeah.
Okay, going into Kevin Durant gets hurt, and you and I had this conversation of like, oh, that, you know, if they could be 500, that would be great. But there was a reaction out in the Twitter sphere of like, oh, the Nets are rolling. They're fine.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant got hurt. Kevin Durant's a very good player. Mm-hmm. So he gets hurt. Then the Nets lose 4 in a row. While that last game, the Suns game, was actually, there's a bit of encouraging news. There's a canary in the coal mine at the end of that game.
Okay.
But the Nets losing 4 in a row, everyone's panicking. I'm Kevin Bacon in Animal House yelling, don't panic. Everyone stay calm, right?
It's deep. Dads everywhere are going to love that reference.
I know. I was just thinking that's like the lamest. You know, when you go into Animal House, when you see a columnist still write about Animal House, it's like a...
A couple of Belushi guys. Yeah.
So we had... I was a not panic person because I had felt that this team was the values that this team had exhibited pre Kevin Durant injury had still survived. They just had to figure it out. And they have figured it out. They played in a back to back against the Utah Jazz. Everyone played. Kyrie played 39 minutes and they got the dub against the Jazz. Then they were playing, I think some context is needed, against the Warriors, who had rested everyone in a game against the Cleveland Cavaliers
great
on
context.
Friday.
I was going to say, it was an overpowered Warriors team, really.
Yeah, they were juiced Overhealed. Up and ready to go.
Yeah.
You know when your iPhone does the actually, you have an Android.
I have an Android.
Your iPhone will do a thing where if you plug it in at night, it will do a slow charge so it doesn't overcharge. It doesn't charge up your phone too quickly.
This sounds like this is exactly the reason I don't have an Apple phone. What kind of shenanigans is that?
That the Warriors just were just fully charged, juiced up, ready to roll.
Yeah.
And the Nets played one of their best games of the year in terms of that comeback. You know, you and I had talked. You watched it this morning.
I did.
And I said, buckle up, because you're about to see something that's very rare for us Nets watchers, which is like a slightly undermanned Nets team against a very good team having a true, legitimate, tough-as-nails comeback and actually pulling out the victory is... It's rare in the non-Kevin Durant Nets era.
I'm trying to think of like what the identity without KD that we can rally behind. And it feels like it's a defensive one. I mean, I watched actually the Golden State broadcast of that game this morning.
Oh, interesting.
I really tried to protect myself from the news that the Nets had won. It's not easy in 2023, Mike.
Oh, did you not know? Did I ruin that for you?
No, it had already been ruined.
Oh, okay, good.
Because I absentmindedly just went to Nets Daily, and there it was. And that was stupid. But
who would have thought that on Nets Daily they would have had that?
I had that score, yeah, I know. So I blew it, but, I thought, well, they remarked constantly about how good the Nets were defensively, right? That was the refrain constantly because I like hearing the other team's broadcasters, just like it gives you a different kind of insight into what other teams think of you. And it was like, by the end of the second half, I mean, like Claxton and Ben Simmons were truly everywhere. And to a lesser extent, Royce O'Neal and everyone just like generally engaged on that line. I was like, oh, is that like going to be our thing? We're just going to be like a good defensive team in just like being entirely about that worldview, in especially without KD. And I don't know, maybe that's the thing. I'm just looking for what can we be without KD at this moment?
I mean, it is, if you look at the NBA stats lineups and look at like defensive rating, I think, I don't know if the NBA stats did this organically. It's either NBA stats or another site where they filter out all lineups that don't have 100 possessions together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if a lineup has had 100 possessions, they've played actual basketball. Right. As opposed to, if you look on who's leading the NBA in defensive rating right now, it's Buddy Boeheim.
Right.
Because I think he played for 1 minute and the other team didn't score. And it's zero.
Yeah.
So he's the greatest defender of all time. The actual best... So you would think, going into that every lineup the Nets have on the top 20 list would involve Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant has been very good defensively. He's been him and Claxton together, him, Claxton, and Ben Simmons together. That's just like a lot of mobility and length and all that fun stuff. It's actually, oddly, there's two lineups where it's like Kyrie, Joe Harris, Seth Curry, Royce O'Neal, and Claxton. Now, Claxton's the constant amongst all the Nets' best defensive lineups, which... should it be shocking? Defensive player of the year, Nick Claxton. By the way, for our YouTube audience, my background it probably doesn't really cut through, but this is a 2005 picture of the band Panic at the Disco. And I put up the heads of Kyrie, Royce, Nick Claxton, and Jacque Vaughn. You know, Don't Panic at the Disco will be the name of this episode.
Really nice.
There is this odd identity that I don't know how to grapple with the fact that like Kyrie, somehow these Kyrie lineups are not the worst defensive lineups in the NBA. In fact, they're very good defensively. A lot of that has to do with Claxton. I mean, like Claxton, I think it was in the fourth quarter, he had this incredible block where he was sort of kind of just a few steps on the side of the three-point line. Curry or Jordan Poole had already got to the bucket and were about to put up a layup, and he just flew in and blocked the shot.
Yeah.
And was a velociraptor, or a pterodactyl, even if we're going prehistoric.
I have two things. One, I wanted to remember to recommend, because you said Panic at the Disco, and there's a mom named Disco Mommy in the TLC reality TV show MILF Manor, which I have to super recommend to you, Mike. It is, I mean, that was a couple of jumps to that, but it's...
Give me a quick synopsis of MILF Manor, right?
I actually don't. I'm not going to, because I want you to be surprised when you see it. All right. I want the review. You have to watch. It's an insane show. Anyways, the other part of it too is I started to actually see what the platonic ideal of a fully realized Ben Simmons could look like on this team, Mike, in this game, this specific game, because he's getting better, more fluid, you know, in the course of the game. But I think there's like, I kind of think of him as like a volleyball setter. You know what, the setter position in volleyball? Yeah.
It's usually very short, stocky, squat. At least in high school,
high school it is.
It's the girl who's flying through the air. She's the one who's just like accurate,
solid
like
base.
A tank.
You got a solid base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wide hips.
Yeah.
Usually the girls I kind of dated.
Yeah. Okay. Good. good. So I think he's like that. In ipso facto.
Sorry, that was highly awkward.
No, that was good. And in a lot of ways, Ben Simmons is like a girl you dated in high school or whatever. But no, and that he like kind of gets into the middle of the paint.
Speaking of dating, Ben Simmons, he's been around. I don't know if you've seen his name thrown around, and his name was in the Megan Thee Stallion
Ben Simmons?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen this.
Oh, well, it's too far. It's too big of a rabbit hole. But you know how there's the Megan Thee Stallion, Tory Lanez or whatever trial where he shot her. Ben Simmons was one of a lover of both Megan Thee Stallion and her friend. And there's Ben Simmons is kind of, his name kind of pops up in a lot of the, this Ben Simmons also dated this person.
You know, so. Maybe for the VIP episode on Patreon, we can get into that. Cause I do want to know more, but you have a lot of educating to do for me on this. I've been a little bit outside of the loop.
It'd be like Daily Nets, like Daily Mail, but Daily Nets.
Nice.
And it's just the goss.
Yeah. Let's get Nets Daily onto that. But anyways, I see him as sort of like a setter position, and then he kind of gets into the middle of the paint, and then he doesn't like really. He seems like he's kind of like he just does these quick little passes where he actually had a really slick one in the first or second quarter last night, where he even kind of like jumped, caught the pass, and did a fake pass that that stunned Draymond Green and turned him around. And I just think that he's not going to be like a traditional point guard, and we should not like, everyone kind of knows that anyways. And it's just like, okay, so how do you like get a defined role instead of that? And there is a way to do these kind of ticky tacky passes. He's so tall and he's so clever, and he's just getting a little bit more deft with that. It's a weird position. It's not a necessary position, but it's, I think, how you maximize the potential of Ben Simmons. So I'm starting to see a clearer picture. I'm starting to see, where like the coaching staff may be actually trying to execute on this idea that I'm talking about, that I may be picking up on. But my sense is that it's not just like him in the dunker spot on offense. It's him. It's sort of like the dunker spot extended, where he can kind of be this like ticky tack hockey assist guy.
It's complete. I always, when I listen to like national podcasts and they're like, they're saying about Ben Simmons, they're like, oh, he's looking better. And I don't know if, I mean, I'm going to ask you, is he looking better? Because I don't know if I can agree. Like, it's just like very, it's still hard for me to grapple with who he is as a player at this point. He plays unlike anyone in the NBA. It's like there's like a slice of Jokic because of the passing, but Jokic can shoot and score and do everything that he does. And Simmons, like you're talking about, the hockey assist, it's just so freakish how he'll get dunker spot extended or free throw line extended.
Yeah.
And he'll dribble into it and just like throw it behind his back or throw it quickly to Joe Harris. He had there's actually a great little moment where like he got a pass in the free throw line extended, quickly passed it to Kyrie like behind his head, and Kyrie did an alley-oop to Nick Claxton. And for the defense perspective, they're both like sloughing off Ben Simmons but tight on Kyrie, and then there's just a vacuum of space for Nick Claxton to go and dunk the ball. It must be so odd for a defense to be like, okay, two guys of Kevin Durant's playing, we're going to play as tight as we can on these guys. But then one guy, Ben Simmons, we're not going to touch him until he gets within 3 feet of the basket.
The other thing, too, is Claxton and Ben Simmons are very alike in that they can hit these weird baby hooks that hit off every portion of the rim before it goes in. Like it totally hit the backboard three times and then the rim four times and then drop in. And it's always surprising to everybody, but they go in at like a increasingly bizarre rate. I mean, Ben Simmons has like, it's gone up and down. Claxton's been hitting that all season, which is still like, it must be very confusing for people. And it's also,
do you think it's an earned skill or is it luck with Claxton? Like he had a move last night where he did like a spin on the, I think it was the right block, and a little baby hook, and it was like all fluid, perfect, in, great.
Yeah.
But I still feel like it's like the Utawatanabe threes. It's like it was a little luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hard to like, I mean, with this, I don't know, we're getting into a pretty full like amount of data that we would need to be like, okay, there's like a certain rate at which we can expect this to go in. I don't know if that's, you know, at some point it was like 70 whatever percent, which that's probably not it, but I don't know that it's that far from it. I don't know, we can probably look this up, but
I'm interested in the data of like, you take out all dunks, what is his shooting percentage?
Interesting.
And I'm pretty sure I could figure that out if you talk for like 30 minutes straight. Could you do that?
Yeah, I can look that up. MILF Manor. Let me start episode.
This is TLC. This is like a Discovery Warner Greater Universe. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not actually going to talk. I can talk more about Ben Simmons. here's another thing that I know, the weird note that I have down is just like, did Joe Harris lose weight? He kind of looks a little bit more lithe out there, doesn't he? He's looking. Did you feel what I'm saying? You're picking up what I'm putting down.
There's something. So I think he's maybe the ankle injury. It's like a whole thing of like, I kind of joked about it with Dr. Niraj Patel when we had him on, on the award-winning Kevin Durant is injured episode that we did.
Yeah.
You know, and like, oh, I can't stand this like lingering injury stuff with this team particularly. I mean, we talked so long about, let's go back to Jeremy Lin, right? His hammies. Let's go back to Caris LeVert. James Harden, of course, had the distinction of like the most devastating hammy injury of all time. Kevin Durant had the odyssey of like the Achilles. We joked about when the NBA season shut down, when we had Evan Roberts on the pod, that like Kevin Durant may play basketball for the Nets this season when they restart the season, and he still didn't.
Yeah.
And it's like, am I really going to care about an ankle injury that happened, you know, two Thanksgivings ago?
Right.
But he is like, I have to be realistic. These things probably really do affect these guys.
Yeah.
He's looking a little quicker and a little spry. Like, to talk about those defensive lineup stats, Joe Harris is in those lineups too, where the team is doing well on defense.
I saw it. There's a couple of possessions where he actually guarded Steph Curry like really well, just like generally well. And he looks like his body like movement looks more natural all of a sudden. Like, I'm just kind of like, I watched certain parts of the game, like, you know, back over and like kind of scrub through it. And like, if you watch it, like faster at like 1.5 speed, you can like really get a sense of somebody's like, like a blocky moving person. And he was starting to look really fluid. I'm wondering if he like lost weight as a strategy to alleviate stress on the ankle. That's my,
cause he was fat.
Well, have you now to bring in another reality TV franchise alone? There's a guy named Biko who gained 45 pounds so that he could like have a cushion to starve. and part of his items that he brought were ankle bracelets because he was like, it's going to be hard on my ankles to be this overweight. And it got me thinking about, about Joe Harris.
Did that work?
Like, yeah. I mean, his like ankles started to hurt him and, the ankle. Well, he came in second, and he didn't like catch anything ever. He just starved, flat out starved the entire time for like 60 days.
Catch? You mean like diseases?
No, he didn't catch any. He didn't. I mean, no, didn't catch any food. He like literally didn't catch anything to eat. He didn't eat a single. He just ate like berries and mushrooms. And that was it.
Speaking of mushrooms, this Nets team is so great. Look, quick break. Coming back, we're gonna talk more about Claxton, Simmons. I have a thing about Jock Vaughn. I mean, there's just so much to talk about. Let's just talk about it coming up.
Let's.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back, Brian.
Good to be back.
By the way, I'm looking up the stats that we talked about in terms of Nick Claxton.
Okay.
He has dunked the ball. This is kind of incredible. So if you look at NBA.com, he's dunked the ball. If you add in his alley-oops, so his alley-oops, he's shooting 82% on alley-oops. He's shooting 95% on dunks, which I don't know if that's good. Like, I feel like most dunks, they go in pretty well. But if you combine layups, so like I want to see what is defined as a layup, do you think? Because like sometimes the moves that he does would end up being layups. On hook shots, what they define as a hook shot, he's shooting 50%, which I feel like it's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah.
He's shot 50 hook shots so far this year. He's hit 25 of them. That's how we get 50%. On layups, he's shooting 67%. On alley-oops, 82%. Dunks, 95%. Bank shots, he's only taken 9. He has 7 for 9 of those. I mean, if you kind of look, the only thing that he's just not doing at all well from the field is a fadeaway, which he's only taken 3 fadeaways, and jump shots, which he's taken 13 of those. Everything else, tips, layups. I mean, really, just the vast majority of what he does, tips, layups, dunks, alley-oops. But there's the hook shot. It's 50%.
Yeah.
And that, I think there's like a, that's a valuable skill on this team. I had a bit for you that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
And I don't know if I want to get this antagonistic.
Oh.
We should be celebrating this team, Brian. Okay.
I mean, we're hurtling towards that 500 earmark that we had for this KD-less period, Mike. We are.
And the Nets are almost home. They are almost, they have one game against, actually a kind of important game against the 76ers. I think the 76ers are now technically second in the East. The Nets are a game behind the 76ers. So a dub to finish off the road trip would be meaningful.
Yeah.
And then they get to play the Pistons, Knicks, and Lakers. Then they play Boston away, and then they have five home games. So this is a real way to kind of ease into it, up to the All-Star break, which is February 15th is their last game. They only have three road games, one of them being the 76ers coming up. The rest of them are home games. So that's a real, hey, everyone, let's get a lot of et cetera's episodes in, Kevin Durant.
Right.
Is that a weekly show?
Gosh, I don't know. Do you think
it feels very inconsistent.
You think they put them in the can is what you're saying?
I don't know. I mean, it feels like they kind of do one every month.
Mm. I mean, it's sort of like us. That's kind of our schedule at this point.
Why am I criticizing that? Yeah. So here's my antagonistic thing, and I apologize. I have been thinking about this team for a long time.
Ew.
Right? Okay. And one of the things I try to fight against is fighting its preconceived notions, carrying baggage into takes, right? Let's look at the here and now, right? Let's be rabbits. Rabbits don't have long memories. We're not elephants. Let's be rabbits right now. But also I like to be like an elephant, so it's kind of confusing.
I often go goldfish with that, but like goldfish memory.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, their memories are
less than rabbits, I would say. Yeah.
But less than rabbits, yeah. Oh. Can you do me a tier list?
Yeah, tier list of memory in the animal kingdom.
That would actually, yeah. I would look at that for a while if you could. Like one of those like graph charts and it's like a line chart. And like
I'll do
a bunch of bunny faces. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. I want everyone at home right now to think about this too. If I asked you at the meeting point between potential and likelihood of being at that potential, who has greater likeliest potential to hit their ceiling on some level?
Okay.
Ben Simmons or Claxton? So what I'm asking is, of course, Ben Simmons has a higher ceiling because we've seen him be an all-NBA player. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll ever do that again. Right? And he is a good, like, if you look at all the on-off stats with him, he is still an impactful player in a positive sense.
Yeah.
You know, offensively, they are better with him on the floor than they are without him. They are better defensive. Like, he is positively impacting on the floor, maybe not as much as he used to, but on some level.
Yeah.
Claxton is a little diminished as an offensive player. Like they are like less than 1 point per 100 possessions with him on the floor when he's off. But he's defensively like 3 points positive impact. Who do you think has a higher likely ceiling between the two? At this point, I say this because Claxton has been so freaking good, and he is a top five DPOY candidate this year.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I'm trying to think of like, you know, an actual. It's such a hard thing to do to like actually get a another player that's sort of you can compare to Ben Simmons. It just really doesn't exist. I was thinking about like, it's kind of like Jason Kidd on the Knicks, except like Jason Kidd on the Knicks was like good at shooting threes. So that's like, or like had tacked.
Remove the threes.
Tacked that on. It's Jason Kidd on the Knicks if he still couldn't shoot threes.
It's like Magic Johnson playing in a celebrity all-star game, you know, because Magic isn't shooting at this point, but he can whip passes like crazy, and he can hit, Arnie Duncan, former head of the Department of Education under the Obama administration. He can hit him for a sweet little layup.
Right.
But I don't, you know, he's not Duncan.
Magic Johnson at the All-Star game is great. That's a really good comp.
Is that what he looks like? Because also the funny thing is about Simmons now is that he got hurt last night. Like he had to lay down. I don't know if he got really hurt, but he had to lay down. They had to work on his back at one point. Yeah. They brought out the Lululemon like cartons, you know, like the cushions.
Did you just think of that Magic Johnson? Or did you steal that from somewhere?
I just thought of that.
That's pretty good. That's good work, Mike. That's good. That's good work. Good field reporting.
Is that disrespectful of Ben Simmons?
No, I think it's. I think if we all know what we're talking about, I think it's really accurate. I mean, like, it's a difficult question. You've got two of the qualifiers. You know, likelihood, ceiling. It's difficult. I mean, hard not to say Nick Claxton's star isn't like kind of rising. I mean, at least defensively, and it's insofar as that could be like star power, which it's, and we all know it's just constantly undermined the defensive players of this league. But yeah, man, I mean, like the Nick Claxton thing is happening. And he's starting to put up actual nummies too. He's starting to get like big rebound games and big blocky games. He had like a couple of nights of back-to-back, like six blocks and stuff like that. It's just, once you start putting together the statistical parts of being good at basketball, it gets hard to ignore that you're good. Like, that's the combination of two things. So, I mean, this is, you know, it's difficult to compare these two players because they're pretty different. They're very different people. And Ben Simmons is unlike pretty much everybody else. But I guess, you know, gun to my head in Roblox, I guess I got to go Nick Claxton, like, just to answer you directly.
I'm waiting to not laugh at that, the gun at the head in Roblox, but I'm always going to laugh.
That's how I do it.
Like, how much better of a player is Claxton right now than Ben Simmons? Again, if you look at the statistics, they on off and all that stuff, they're actually very comparable. Simmons has more impact on offense. But when you watch the game, it's like Ben Simmons is never going to have a 20-point game. I don't know if ever. For the rest of his career. Like, what would happen?
He's had a 20-point game this season. I remember it.
You're probably right. I apologize. Yeah. I didn't look it up.
Did he actually? I don't know who was against, but I remember thinking, earmark this night it happened.
I'm looking it up. ESPN's game log does not let me
search
filter.
By, yeah, I know.
What they are the biggest sports media company in the world.
I mean, I've been talking about like ESPN's fantasy.
He's had two games in November.
Jeez, Mike. Yeah. Talk about goldfish memory.
Yeah. Well, that's what I came brought to the pod. You had the receipts.
I had half the receipts. But yeah, so I don't know what we're talking about. If he's never gonna have another, he's never gonna have a 30-point game. I'll grant you that.
Isn't it Claxton? I don't know. No. But I don't know. I try to think about this. The reason why I think it's important is I've been team don't make trades. Right? I've been team, I don't know. Like, I think this team could use a true backup center who can hit free throws. I think that's one of the things I could want, because what ended up happening, even in the Warriors game, is that they hack a Claxt.
Yeah.
And Simmons can't be, you can't have Simmons and Nick Claxton in there at the end of the game.
They didn't have either of them at the end of the game. Not literally.
At the very end. Yeah. Yeah. And I worry about this team when they get into a playoff series. And so we talk about the oddity of Ben Simmons, his Magic Johnson all-star celebrity game. Like the style of play, what he has in his bag. And it confuses teams, I think. And they all understand that, like, oh, we'll slough off of him. And, you know, he'll get his assists, but like he'll never score. So we can kind of try to guard around. I mean, like, he really is impressive in terms of his passing. But in a 7-game series, it's just going to become so clear of like, we are going to double Kyrie, double KD, whenever they get the ball, we're going to pressure those two guys like crazy. It's going to be on Ben Simmons. Like, when Ben Simmons gets the ball, we're not going to guard him until he gets to the bucket. And the hack of Ben, the hack of Clax, all that stuff is really going to come into play. You can focus in on that stuff in a 7-game series. Yeah. We're like, night to night, it just doesn't pop up that way.
And you know what even would be super helpful in that circumstance? I'm sure this is something that Philadelphia fans have been saying for years, but really, just an elbow jumper. If you could just square up and put up a Jason Collins or Mikey Moore even set shot jumper.
Oh, you say Mikey Moore. Okay. And it gets me. Oh, I wish Mikey Moore could play for the team right now. Is he active?
And that could really just, you know, then your zone defense isn't as dominant, and you can collapse a little bit. It's just really helpful. And I know that's not going to happen. It's just like, this is stupid to even bring up, but it would really make it so that you could play deep playoff basketball. Like,
speaking of zone defense, for the Suns game, the Nets used a zone to make that large comeback. That was exciting to see Jacques Vaughn going into his defensive bag.
Mm.
So the reason, again, why I bring it up is, which baby do I want to protect, baby Ben or baby Clax? And because I think at some point, if Ben doesn't progress more in terms of scoring, like if he continues to put up, you know, some zeros versus and some like 10-point games, but like it really, that's where he kind of falls in between, and the only buckets he's scoring is when he actually like is at the bucket, it's going to make it tough in a playoff series when you have two guys that are sort of limited. Where like Clax, again, it's totally different. Claxton is just like, he's getting more confident with, we talk about the hook shot, making moves. He had a great, like reception from, the Wizards have traded Rui Hachimura to the Lakers for Kendrick Nunn and multiple second round picks.
Okay.
That does that change anything in the NBA for you? Did you want Rui Hachimura?
I'm just excited about how much the Wizards and the Lakers do business. You know, I just like that they're
all the time.
they really like to trade with each other.
I'm a Wizards fan, so I'm gonna have to stop the pod and just really think, really soak that in. No, I want. Claxton is his contract. I think it's only 2 years, right? But it's like, that was the best deal. We had talked about points last year when we were like, is he like a $20 million guy? Because if he's this good, this young, and then he like sucked, right? Mm. And they got him on the $11-12 million deal. He is super valuable.
Yeah.
And what I don't want to do this, Brian.
Don't say it for this year.
But say the Nets don't win the championship and they have to make a big trade this offseason. Claxton is a heck of a trade piece to put into a deal because he's so versatile and good defensively.
Mike, he's unlike you are many sick, centers. Sick puppy.
He is going to be a trade piece.
What happened to you?
Slap him in a trade with Ben Simmons. You have a package.
You're unwell, Mike, to even think about that.
So you feel good about your Nets?
You know, I'm just glad that we didn't make this a whole big spectacular like losing streak thing. Like that, I'm just glad that we could avoid that talking point throughout this entire. If we just went on like a full blown like 12 game losing streak, that would have been even now that we just only won the two games, we can avoid that whole narrative. You know, even just we've done the work, we've done all the work that we need to do. Like, am I a believer that a KD-less Nets team is like, you know, is good? And like, yeah, I'm praying that we can stay hovering around 500 until he gets back. But I think we all know that the entirety of our Nets identity kind of hinges on Kevin Durant at the moment. I don't know if you feel
that
way.
Are the Nets better without KD?
Yeah. Is that people still, people still don't get that you are trolling when you say that kind of stuff. They just really don't.
That's really an honor of Kyrie. Like I say that in honor of him because there were so many people that would say the Nets that at times are the Nets better without Kyrie Irving. When even I, someone who was pretty upset with his tweeting and Instagramming the anti-Semitic video that he did, would argue that they're better with Kyrie Irving. And I will say this, Brian. Kyrie has been incredible.
He's been unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He is, I mean, sure, like we could, you know, there's good Kyrie, bad Kyrie. Like when he's putting up these ridiculous shots and missing them, it feels like he feels very selfish and lacking full team production. But when he's hitting them, he's unstoppable and one of the most exciting players in the NBA to watch. And he made the pass to Royce O'Neal, and God bless Royce O'Neal for hitting that three, because if he didn't, Nets Twitter would have been, you know,
yeah.
It would have been a dark place today, he hit it. It's a make or miss league, Brad. That's what they tell you.
That's right. No, I mean, it's too bad we didn't start the show with lauding Kyrie and giving him his due cred, because he's been absolutely unbelievable, Mike. It's true. And we're not here. We're Nets fans at the end of the day, Mike. We just want the dubs. Don't get it twisted. Never get that twisted about us.
Yeah, we will sell our souls for a championship. There's absolutely no question about
it. It's not worth much. Mine, at least. Yours is as a chosen one, a little bit.
Can I go down the road in the future with you for a second?
Yeah.
What would need to happen for a statue of Kyrie to be outside? And what type of tributes would be laid out in front of him?
Oh my God! I mean, the tributes would be amazing. Gosh, I mean, don't get me started. I mean,
what needs to happen?
I mean, that statue would be like highly decorated, I feel like.
That'd be the most controversial NBA statue of all time.
Hopefully there's like a place where you could like put the sage in the hand and have the smoldering sage in the hand of the statue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be actually a nice touch.
What would need to happen is we need to win a lot of chips, Mike.
Three chips?
I think we stack three chips and we're talking about a statue. I think we might be.
Him, Kevin Durant.
And Ben Simmons.
Dame Lillard. Because they're going to trade for a Dame Lillard soon.
Nah.
No.
Mike, where do they find us? We've exhausted ourselves.
Well, I know you don't watch Marvel, but like there's a character coming out of the Marvel movies called Kang the Conqueror. He's...
Kang.
K-A-N-G. Kang the Conqueror. And his whole thing is that he goes across the multiverse and creates havoc and blah, blah, blah. And classically, you remember, think about like Planet of the Apes or something. It'll be like, you know, you go to this alternate dimension or what you think was an alternate dimension or a different planet. And there's like a statue of, it should be the Statue of Liberty,
right.
But it's like Kang the Conqueror
right.
as the Statue of Liberty. That's like this dystopian alternate universe, the Last of Us future of where there's just a statue of Kyrie Irving outside of Barclays. But I would embrace that future. Embrace it because that means something that very good happened.
Chips happened. That means we got those chips. And again, we'll sell our soul for all those chips. Sorry to say weird cough right in the middle of that.
We're coming back. We're going to have some trade deadline. I'm going to dive deep into the trade machine and really pull out some stuff. Brian, we need to do Glue Guys Theater coming up. We got to figure out something to do about that.
Lots of fun activities. So many activities coming up.
We'll have some guests at some point.
Love it. And join the discord.gg/glueguys. Get in there. All right, we're out of here. Bye, everybody. Bye, Mike. Say goodbye.
Bye.